This isn't an occasion that calls for many more words. The crucifixion of Jesus is like the birth of a baby, the death of someone dear to you. It is both too wonderful and too awful for words. Maybe that's why Jesus himself didn't say much when he was on the cross. I won't say much this evening, but I'd like to, if I may, to turn your attention to one verse out of all those we just read, chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. At first glance, it's obvious why he says this. In the previous 24 hours, he's been beaten within an inch of his life, crowned with thorns, forced to carry his cross to the place of execution, there nailed to the cross, and hanged for 6 hours. Jesus says, I thirst, because he was thirsty, right? Well, John says he said, I thirst to fulfill Scripture. John doesn't say exactly which passage of Scripture he's fulfilling. But it was probably this one. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Sound familiar? Jamie sang that for us back at the beginning. It's from Psalm 22. And if there's any doubt in your mind that Jesus was thinking about Psalm 22 when he was hanging on the cross, it's the psalm that begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus isn't complaining. He's quoting Scripture. And not just any Scripture. Because you see, in the Scriptures, especially in the Psalms, thirst is a spiritual problem. It's being cut off from God. Psalm 42, Psalm 63, Psalm 143, just to name a few, all begin with, my soul thirsts for God. Now, ironically, Jesus had presented himself as the solution to that problem. Back in John chapter 7, he stood up before the crowds on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Jesus, the fount of living water, was thirsty. Because what he endured on the cross was worse than anything else that he had suffered. Worse than the thorns, worse than the whips, worse than the nails. Every Sunday morning, we remember this in the Apostles' Creed. You remember the line, he descended into hell? Now, when you say that on Sunday morning, what do you mean? You think Jesus spent 3 days with Satan? No evidence of that in Scripture. 3 days in the grave? That would be redundant, because the line right before that is, he was crucified, dead, and buried. We knew that. This is hell. On the cross, God the Father forsook him. Tim Keller once said, there's no greater agony than to lose love. Some of you know what that's like. Someone who had promised to love you and be faithful to you, to honor and cherish you in sickness and in health until death do you part, has left. You know how it destroys you, body, mind, heart. This was worse. Jesus had been perfectly one with his Father forever. And on the cross, his Father turned his back on him. That's why he said, why have you forsaken me? That's why he said, I thirst. Jesus wasn't just nailed and beaten on the cross. He went to hell for us. He was separated from God. The last question I want to consider this evening is why? Why did Jesus endure this? The answer is simple. We deserve what happened to him. What we should have had happen to us, he carried himself. It is an answer that is popular with no one these days, because our creed, the creed of the secular world, is a little bit different than the Apostles' Creed. We say, don't let other people make you feel guilty. Guilt is bad, after all. And as long as you decide what's right for you, no one will ever be able to make you feel guilty. Well, are inordinate feelings of guilt bad for you? Downright pathological. Are no feelings of guilt even more pathological? Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of Walker Percy. This novel in particular, Love in the Ruins. Max is a psychiatrist. He has a client named Tom. And Tom comes to him and confesses, I've been having an affair and I don't feel guilty and I need help. And Max says, well, if you don't feel guilty, what's the problem? And he says, that's the problem. If I don't feel guilty, it means I have no life in me. You know what he means when he's saying that? His guilt was his last connection to something bigger than him. And saying, nothing should make you feel guilty means nothing's more important than me. Nothing is worth dying for. Nothing's worth living for. If there's no guilt, there is no hope. But the scriptures say there is guilt and there is hope. You remember the old musical, The Man of La Mancha? The best known song from it is To Dream the Impossible Dream. To fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. You remember that one? That's hyperbole. That is poetic exaggeration for the sake of art. This isn't. For our sake, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Why did Jesus endure what He endured? He did it for us. We know how the story ends. We're going to come back on Sunday morning and celebrate it wildly. But this is Friday night. And we're here to remember that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, died for us. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we minimize our sin, when we fail to appreciate all that Jesus suffered for us. Open our eyes, I pray, to the seriousness of our sin, that we may glory all the more in your grace and give thanks for it. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.